right in the middle of your current circumstance that may not look all that rosy in the natural. I want somebody to just give the devil a black eye and just really worship God here. Just give God some extravagant praise. It's because of you. Hey! The preacher said the devil can't stop it. Well, praise God. We love and appreciate Brother French, and I think he's an excellent fit for this church. We kind of connected as soon as he started this morning. Some of you were a little unsure, but we connected really, really well at a very good level. And I hope this is a long and fruitful relationship. I want him to come back when he's able. You want to pray for them. They've been through a long, long valley. And Sister French has just recently recovered from the long valley of battling cancer. And now son Ryan is down with these problems. But he was preaching in the face of the enemy this morning. The devil can't stop it. He's running back and forth between Durham and Birmingham, England, finishing up on his doctoral work. And I can't wait for that work to come out and be published. It's going to just be an awesome, awesome piece of work. And I'm excited about it. He's told me a little bit about it. I'm really, really hungry for it. But I want him to come tonight. And I want him to just take his liberty. I've asked him to give his testimony, but he just gave a lot of testimony this morning. So I just want you really to do whatever you want to do, whatever you feel in the Holy Ghost to do. And we love you. We appreciate you coming. And everybody that wants him to just have his way in this house, take liberty in the house, and God to have his way, say, preach to me, preacher.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's lift our hands one more time and let's thank him. Father, thank you for this great sanctuary of worship and the people of God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the presence of God and for the ministry, Lord, here in Birmingham. Thank you for your spirit and your power. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, tonight it is a joy to be back with you. And we've got some, I really felt the Lord as that group was praying for Ryan tonight. Ryan is my 26-year-old son that has been hospitalized with this swine flu turned into pneumonia. While he was preaching revival in South Carolina, became ill and then kept trying to preach and got sicker and sicker and so on. And the devil thinks, you know, that's the end of the story, but that's not the end of the story. So we thank God. And I feel ministered to. Now, I really did not think we were going to make this meeting. It was like, we're not going to make that meeting because things were very, very touch and go. And we prayed and said, Lord, if this is what you want, you're going to have to help us. And I believe the Lord spoke to us and said, just go on, go ahead. And so it's a joy. I want you to know it's a joy to be here. It's a joy to be here. Now, I'm a much better preacher when Sister French is along. So if we ever come back, I'll be sure to have Sister French come. She sings like an angel, plays the piano, classical music. I mean, she is and all my boys are guitarists. They can, they have CDs. They make CDs and all kinds of stuff. And they're into all that. But we are definitely going to look forward to another opportunity to be with you folks. Thank you so much. And I can tell tonight that I feel I feel a release in the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, maybe if nothing else. Now, there's several things happening in the French family. One is that we've been in full-time university work for about 15 years. And the Lord spoke to us this summer and said, we were going to sign contracts and all that. We set up a master's program for one of our colleges out in California. And the Lord said, don't do it. This is it. I'm calling you back into pastoral work. And since even today, Pastor, I got a call from, I'd forgotten all about it, a minister that said, we want to support your writing, what you're doing. So they're actually supporting our ministry while we're in between. We're kind of like an evangelist, but we're not evangelizing. And so they're supporting and saying, because I'm actually finishing, I'm typing the very final chapters of my PhD work, which is documenting the enormous explosive growth of the Jesus Name Church in Europe. And for the, who knows what for, but thank God. And I'm excited. So I want to preach to you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm really going to preach what I say I'm going to preach tonight. This morning I said I'm preaching from Exodus 5. I never even thought about preaching from Exodus 5. I tell you what, you know what happened this morning? The devil was daring me. Don't you dare. He said, don't you dare talk about how God healed those boys when I've got your son in the hospital. And I said, devil, I've got your number. We're not about to worry about it. We're going to let God be God. Yes, let God be God. Hallelujah. So, you're going to have to, you know, tonight we're not going to get excited. We're not going to get wound up or anything. We're just going to keep it. I feel led of the Lord tonight to, without any apology, to lift up the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm going to do. And but before I turn our attention to our scripture, I want to say how much I have enjoyed being with the Suttons. I've known the Suttons, but this is my first chance to. And I'm very, very excited about this church. And these folks have, obviously, they've just done a great work. And Brother and Sister Sutton and their family, we're getting to know them little by little. So I thank the Lord for that opportunity. And we certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. Now, tonight, I'm going to be unconventional. I'm not going to promise how this will go, but I want to, without any apology. Now, I know this is unconventional. So every once in a while, I'll do something like this, and then I run as fast as I can run. But I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. When Brother Sutton said, give your testimony, I took that to mean is I was a Trinitarian all these years, and then God revealed the oneness of God, and He revealed to me that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So here's what I felt, and I believe, I know it, absolutely no doubt about it, that this is the will of God for this service, for me and my preaching tonight. I'm going to preach on the subject, there's a name above every name. Everyone say a name above every name. Now, for many years, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe Jesus was above every name. I thought, well, surely the Trinity is above Jesus, or Father's above Jesus, or Jehovah's above Jesus. But I got a revelation of the name, and that's what's happening in our world right now. That's why this church and this message, I sometimes call it a movement, or call it whatever you want. It's the fastest growing movement in the world today. It is shaking the world, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. I'm not ashamed of it. Thank God for a church that's alive, that's got the power of God in it. So I'm going to turn our attention, if you would, to Philippians, because I know you're standing. And let's look at Philippians 2. Here's a familiar scripture, and I want to read verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. I would say a name. Has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow our heads. Father, right now we ask you, Lord, to anoint our hearts tonight. We pray that as the word goes forth, that our comprehension and revelation of who you are and what you're doing in these days will grip us and will call us to teach more Bible studies. Call us, Lord, to respond and to find an altar and seek your face. And we give you the praise. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Praise God. Now, tonight, it is a phenomenal thing to be a part of the Church of the Living God. And this is a great day to be alive. There are sometimes things that are very, very hard to believe. For example, it's hard to believe that in a world that's so worldly, Hollywood and all the things that are happening in our culture, not just America, but Europe. I've been studying in Europe now for 5 years, working on a PhD in the largest Pentecostal research center in all of the world. I've been flying back and forth, and I hate it. If I have to see Europe again... No, I'm just kidding. Cut that from the tape. I don't mean that. But the fact of the matter is, I have to leave my family. I have to go over, and it was a tremendous opportunity because before that, I earned a master's degree in ancient language. I had a bachelor's degree from Wheaton College, which is the same university Billy Graham went to in Chicago, West Side. And that was just something I enjoyed. I was into ancient language. I studied ancient language at 6 universities. I started when I was still in high school, earned a scholarship and so on, and studied ancient language. And I was the Latin scholar whatever, blah, 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 nobody cares, when I was in high school, when I was in 9th grade. And so they saw that, I was a great basketball player, but I knew Latin even better. And so that was what I was into. And so it developed into other things. I wasn't apostolic, didn't know anything about apostolic, but it became a passion, and I got involved, went to Wheaton College, studied language, went to several universities, studied language. And in the process, Greek became sort of my forte. Studied the 16 semesters of Greek, and studied Homeric Greek, ancient Greek, modern Greek, Koine Greek, all kinds of Greek, and enough to make you wish you'd never heard of it. And then studied Hebrew, but when I studied Hebrew, I studied Hebrew under rabbis, which was very interesting. That Hebrew, you could study it from anybody who knows Hebrew, of course. You could get a box at one of these courses and study Hebrew. Wouldn't have to even have an individual do it. But I just happened to have that opportunity to study Hebrew under rabbis. And there was some interesting things that happened when I was studying Hebrew with the rabbis. And one of them was I received an appreciation for the name of God. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the number one curse word in America today, don't think about it. Of course you don't know the number one curse word in America. But Dr. Medved, he writes about these things. I met with him some time ago. He was giving a big seminar at this huge Lutheran church. He's a Jew, of course, and he's a famous TV something. Studies movies and reports on whatever that's called. And he's fairly conservative, and he's a very conservative Jewish individual. And he had written a book about how Hollywood is affecting America and so on. And one of the things that he'd been doing was studying the level of degradation and how much cursing is going on in the movies. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. He was talking about that. But one of the things was that the number one swear word, I don't keep up with it, didn't really want to know, don't know why I'm telling you, but the number one swear word in America today is Jesus Christ. Every movie that he was going through, and he was naming how many, if they want to say, they wouldn't say that about Muhammad, they wouldn't do that about it, but they do it, they literally curse the name of Jesus. But I want to tell you something, no devil in hell is going to stop the power of the name of our God. You cannot stop it. It's an awesome name.
Well, I want to tell you, I got a little taste of it at studying Hebrew with Jewish rabbis. In fact, I'd heard for many years that, of course, I remember now, this was up in, I was 100 years old by this time. And so I'm thinking, okay, I've got my Latin, I've got a little Aramaic, got a little
got Greek. I've got Greek coming out my ears. And I didn't have to do Hebrew. I could have done anything. You know, studied French, studied German. But I thought, I got to master Hebrew. So I began that project. And I'd heard for years that that Jewish people would not say the name of the Lord. And so as I was studying Hebrew, of course, I thought, well, I'm going to investigate this more and more. In other words, they took the name of God to be so holy that they would not even say the name of the Lord. Now, some people think that Jesus' name people are odd. For one thing, we're holiness. And they would say, well, anybody preaches holiness is not going to grow. Those churches are not going to grow because they tell you to live holy and right and don't sin and don't fill your life with sin in a culture that's full of sin and just literally promoting it at every turn. Thank God for a church that's preaching holiness. But what's shocking them is that the fastest growing churches today in America and the world are holiness preaching churches. Now, I know someone's going to say, well, no, it's the charismatics and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not here to argue. I don't have time. Don't even care. I'm telling you, the facts are in. The fastest growing church right now in Christianity is the Jesus Name Apostolic Church. They're growing in every nation. There's not a nation where they're not baptizing in the name of Jesus. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I'm trying to stay calm. So please don't excite me. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to believe. It's hard for us to accept. And I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands one more time. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be very hard to... I want to cover so much ground in it. I'm just going to obey the Lord. I feel like that we're in the will of God here tonight. Now we live, I've recently, just in the last weeks, in order to get situated and finish this degree, and I've got to go back and I've got to graduate before Christmas. I got all kinds of stuff. I got to get my work in. My deadline was, what is today? The 8th. My deadline was 8 days ago. And I let him know my son was in the hospital and I'm trying, I'm typing as fast as I can go. And you cannot imagine. Well, anyway, it's a massive project and I'm almost done. I'm within weeks of being finished. One of the most, awesome things to me is to be a part of a church that is just loves Jesus and just commits itself to the Lord. It isn't about how smart we are or how big our churches are and all of that. You might say, well, Brother French, what if we weren't the fastest growing church in the world? Well, it wouldn't make any difference at all. What I'm doing my PhD work on, just act like you cared, you know, to kind of like, oh, is the interracial component of Pentecost. And I'm doing it on the first 30 years of the movement, which was phenomenal. And folks, you cannot imagine, oh, Lord, they're quiet and I'm feeling something. And so I'm doing it on a African-American minister by the name of G.T. Haywood, who pastored in Indianapolis, one of the greatest preachers of all time, really. Greatest, wrote some of the greatest songs ever written. And what's amazing is, here's a black American preacher. I'm doing my research in Europe. I'm in Birmingham. That's, of course, when I told my son I had to go to Birmingham this weekend, he said, oh, Dad, going back to Europe. I said, no, wrong Birmingham. I'm going to Alabama this time. But
can you imagine walking into one of the leading universities? This is one of the top 10 universities. Now, folks, you didn't just Google it. Okay, it's one of the top universities in the world. They've got the largest Pentecostal. I mean, actually, to be quite honest with you, it is mind-blowing that we're even there working on this research. They said, we want to know, why is this church growing as fast as it's growing? What in the world? What is going on? One of them, Wheaton College, I'm hallelujah. Oh my goodness. So I said, I don't know. Recently I was invited to, how many know the Assemblies of God? Okay, that's what I was raised, Assembly of God. And of course, I wouldn't baptize in Jesus' name. They wouldn't baptize me in Jesus' name. And so recently I was invited back to the headquarters in the university. I taught for 2 full days on baptism in Jesus' name. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. When I left, and of course, I didn't leave. I loved everybody, still do. I love them just as much now as I did then. So that's not what I'm saying. No. No, what I'm trying to tell you is I never thought when I left and I thought it through, I said, you know what? I'm getting baptized in Jesus' name. If I got to go somewhere else, I'm not going to let anybody keep me. Oh, I'm not letting anybody keep me from getting baptized. They said, no. They said, no, my pastor was one of the big officials. And he said, Thomas, my goodness, you don't want to do that. Get baptized. I said, I don't. He said, no, you don't want to do that. I'm going to, he said, you're too, you've got, you're too smart. You're too whatever. You surely aren't going to get mixed up with that. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not getting mixed up in it. I'd never even been to a Jesus name church before. Do you believe God leads people and guides people? He said, where did you get this desire to get baptized? And what had happened is we had gone to a rally, and all college guys, all of us, a bunch of us, and we were coming back. I remember it like it was yesterday, and look how old I am. And we were sitting there. I was right in the middle seat, and I was fiddling with the radio. Everybody was yak. And I was just trying to get some gospel music, and we were traveling kind of out in the boonies, and I kept getting this station coming through, and I could hear this voice. It's harvest time. And it was going in and out, and then I finally got on that, and all of a sudden this preacher came on, and he was preaching about the name that's above every name. And of course, I knew he was talking about Jesus. It didn't even bother me at all. But it never occurred to me in my, I wasn't raised in the church. My folks didn't know God from Humpty Dumpty, and it was, we weren't involved in all that. And here I was coming into this church and loved them dearly. And suddenly this preacher started saying, Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name. And I'm listening to this, and then the choir, then they get done and the choir starts singing, and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost through the radio, and it's crackly. You can feel the Holy Ghost in that. You're really getting a move of God. And nobody was paying attention. So I patted Pastor and I said, did you hear that? What is this? He said, what? Because they were talking, and I was the only one kind of dropped out of the conversation. And it was kind of fading, and they were singing, that last little stanza. Turned out it was an apostolic UPC radio broadcast. I'd never heard of them. Didn't know a thing about them. And I said, "This, are these Pentecostal?" And it was going, "It's harvest, click." I said, "What? What's wrong?" He said, "You don't ever want to listen to that." He said, "That'll get all over you." He said, "Don't even think anymore about it." I said, "Never another time." Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is hot stuff. I mean, this is really hot stuff. Hey, folks, if you're trying to keep people from getting baptized, don't click the radio off so fast that you're wondering what it is you're not supposed to hear. So I said, who are these horrible people? I said, who are they? He said, those are the Jesus name folks. I said, whoa. I said, whoa. Whoa. The Jesus name folks. And I said, I thought we were the Jesus name folks. I said, I thought we do everything in his name. He said, well, we do, but he said, they're fanatic about it. They're so fanatic that they think you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Ooh, I said, ooh. Well, I had never even heard that anybody had ever been baptized in Jesus' name. It had never occurred to me. And here I was a Greek major. And every time we talked about being baptized in the name, we were told that meant you do it in the authority. Name me like in the name of the law. I do it in the authority of the law. So just for, you don't say anything over them. And I said, oh, they're like radical. And he said, yes. But he said, it's something about it. It'll get on you or something like that. I said, well, I'm going to stay clear of it for sure. First chance I got, boy, I found me a radio and I was going through. So he came back in and he said, Talmadge, I said, I want to tell you something. I've been reading the Bible, and did you know that everybody in the New Testament, when they actually got baptized, they said, I baptize you. And they didn't do it in an authority, although exousia can mean authority and so can anama in Greek can mean authority. But what they did was they actually said the name of Jesus. He said, what have you been listening to? Well, I had been getting up for weeks and I found that radio broadcast. And I mean, I don't believe God makes any mistakes. I think God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Woo! He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to reach us. He knows how to touch us. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Okay. So now my folks live in Arkansas, and that's where I was raised. I was born in Michigan, but I'd lived in Arkansas my whole life. And I consider Arkansas my home. My mother lives there, and my dad lives in Michigan, but my mom lives there. And my sister and her husband pastor there, and my other sister lives in Jonesboro, and my other sister lives in West Memphis, which is Arkansas. And then my other sister lives there as well. They all live there. I hope you're getting the point. And so recently, one of the things, I don't know if Alabama has a bad history of tornadoes, but Arkansas has a lot of them. And I was there for this occasion. Wanted to read it to you since it came from. Now, I experienced it. I know it's true. I'm telling you it's true. But it's hard to believe. It appeared in this form in the largest selling magazine in the United States. So I'm saying that because I want you to believe that it's true. I experienced it. I was there. My family, my wife, my parents, they all experienced this tornado. But I can't vouch for this part of the story, only that it is in the largest selling magazine in the world. I thought, well, this is hard to believe. You may have read this. It's not been that long ago this came out. A little article by Micklemore called Into the Teeth of the Twister, which here's the story. It was January, Sunday in Arkansas, you can imagine the kind of weather. And so their names were Jackson, Keith and Carol, a day they would never forget. A powerful squall had been surging through Arkansas. And I'm reading now. Even though I experienced it, I'm reading it. So I want it to be more believable. It crossed the Mississippi. It brought numerous tornadoes. In fact, there were tornadoes all across the region. Several people were killed. It was dozens of people that were hurt. Hundreds hurt, and it says here six were killed. So I'm reading it because I'd say whatever I want. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I would tell the truth if I could. Carol was putting butterscotch cookies into the oven in Jackson. Now, Jackson is a little ways, obviously that's Tennessee. That's a little ways from Memphis. And my wife was raised in Memphis and I was raised across the river. This tornado came through, jumped the river and headed towards Jackson. That's what they're saying. And Carol was baking and didn't even know there were tornadoes heading her way. But I'm going to have to skip all this. The sky turned eerie green west of Jackson, but quickly darkened. Then the black funnel cloud came. You could see the tornado, in other words. The Jacksons quickly climbed into their bathtub for protection. So there you go. Keith pulled the door shut hard and turned the lock, and the last thing that he remembered was the house exploding. Of course, the key there is he remembers it. He lived through it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be telling this story. Somebody lived through this. Hard to believe, but I'm reading it. These are their words. They could be the biggest liars ever were. You decide. The house is gone. The entire house was plunged into the blackness of the storm. I'm reading Carol and her three boys. The husband's gone. Three boys were curled up in a ball in the fiberglass tub. But they were rising. Now, here you go. I don't know. I'm just reading this. These are the people that's supposed to know. They were rising. Now, see, they're going in. I'm having to explain it. But do I have to explain it? Okay, they're in a tub, and they're going up in a tornado. That's what's happening here. And they were rising into the sky at 241 miles per hour. That's how fast that wind tunnel was going. And they were riding it, and they were going so fast that, Jesus. The rain sliced down on them. Hold on, she screamed. Pretty good mom there. Hold on, she screamed. Suddenly there was a quietness and a smoky gray color tainted the air. We're talking up there. Then they started descending. The boys and their mother landed, or should we say slid, onto the ground with the boys sobbing and weeping but alive. They landed 70 feet. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. They landed 70 feet from where the house had once stood. In the bath. They were still in the tub. All the homes on the street were gone. And although the garage was gone, the green Toyota that they had parked in it was still there. They found Keith, that's Dad, sitting on the door he'd been locking when the storm hit. He was in a daze. "Why are we out here?" he said to Carol, great Dad. "What are we doing out here?" "Well, we just went up in a tornado and you were sitting on the door." "So why are we out here?" he said to Carol. And to her amazement, I'm trying to finish the story. She saw the baking sheet from her oven on the concrete slab where their house had stood. The house is gone. The garage is gone. The green Toyota is sitting there on the slab. And she finds the baking sheet. Now, I'm reading this. Resting on top were two butterscotch cookies. She walked over and she reached down and the cookies were still warm. That's a true story. Now, it's bizarre and it's unbelievable, and I hope they've all taken polygraphs, but I am telling you, the leading magazine in America presented this as their story. They've been interviewed at least 1,000 times. This story has made news all over the world. I just Googled it just to make sure it was still online. And sure enough, you can see their interviews. You can still click on. The boys are a little older now, but they can all tell you of their going up and coming back down. Now, it's an amazing thing to me that something like this is so preposterous. Of course, living in Arkansas, I've seen enough tornadoes that... That's why I live in North Carolina. No, I'm just kidding. But it's been amazing to see a tornado this year. A baby was lifted from a home and they found the baby on a tractor about a mile from the house alive. An infant. You say that's not possible. It's hard to believe. And yet every one of us right now maybe I haven't persuaded you. I'm not very persuasive. But most of you would say, well, that was in so-and-so. That nobody could make that up. That is just too unbelievable. You mean they went up in a tub and they came back down? What is amazing to me is that while we can look at the power of the wind and see all that it is doing, we can say, well, you know what? I could see that a piece of straw could go right through a tree, or a house could be lifted up and turned around, or I could go on and on. We all know the stories, and yet that's earthly wind and that's an earthly story, and it's hard to believe. But I'm telling you tonight, the real wind that's blowing in this generation is the wind of the Spirit that is touching every life and every nation, and it is hard. Why is it that we would not yield our hearts and minds to hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying? Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands one more time. Father, right now, it may be hard to believe. Now, just recently, I went to a university, because I told you I was invited to the Assemblies of God to teach for 2 days on Jesus' name baptism. Whoo, that was exciting. Because I thought that the last time I left there, it was, you don't come back. The door's locked. You're a Jesus name a fanatic. Well, of course, I'm not a fanatic at all. I'm a little wild, but I'm not fanatic. I am not a fanatic. I'm just kidding. But I want to tell you something, folks. This is a different day. Suddenly, those holiness people, those baptized in Jesus' name people, they're showing up in every nation of the world. We can't even find. They told me at the university, they said, you find somewhere where there's no Jesus' name people. I said, I can't. I keep trying. They said, your next assignment is Iceland. That's what they said. I said, oh, good. Okay, finally we got a place. Largest church in Iceland. Jesus' name church. Uh-huh. They said, try Japan. I said, no. I already know that there's a mighty move of God in Japan. The largest church in Tokyo, a Jesus' name church. You cannot find a nation where they've not been getting a revelation. One of the very first assignments that I had was to study Asia, because Asia has such a small, it's got the smallest number of Christians in all any region in the world. And so they said, well, start with China and work your way through. What, of course, they didn't know, being it was a Baptist university in the multimillion dollar center that I was doing the research in, was called the Billy Graham Center. What they did not know, of course, I was sitting on the front row when Billy Graham was speaking one afternoon, and he began to tell about the Jesus name revival in China. And he began to tell how they were baptizing in Jesus name. And he was, it's not recorded that I know of, but I took that to be, he was very excited about it. Not that he agreed with it or that he was one of them, of course, but he was just saying, he was talking about how poor they were. He began to tell the story of Jonathan Chow and how it's really become international news that the communists had thought they could stomp out the church in China. Now, right now we know that there are, I have documented personally. I mean, I'm doing university level documentation. That right there was presented at a university just recently. In fact, I've made 5 or 6 presentations in the last year on just the research I'm doing right now, which is in fact the life of G.T. Haywood and the interracial impulse of early Pentecostalism. How many are thankful that God loves everybody and He is no respecter of person? He doesn't care about whether you're this or that, rich or poor, black or white. What He cares about is that you're a soul. And that is the bottom. That's the heartbeat of the apostolic church. And I know there's tons of prejudice in the world, and we'll never get rid of that till we get to heaven, because this world's full of sin. But I do know this, the church is alive and well. And so recently, I was stacking up, because you know you can't just say there's 30 million people baptized in Jesus' name. You can't do that. I mean, you can do it, but we'll see you later. That's just there. But what I had to do was demonstrate, and of course I've written volumes and volumes and volumes, and I'm doing it again even now. Actually, right now, there are several what I call hot spots where I have what I call mega centers. That is, the only way to study this, folks, is to realize that God is pouring this out and this revelation is coming so fast. Hallelujah. People are getting a revelation. I got a call back some time ago. They said, okay, we need your numbers. How many are there now? And just about a year ago, I was reporting 24.9 million. And I said, but I'm still working on Africa. I'm still working on Northern Africa. I'm working on the Philippines. I'm working on India. And I said, and then there's this massive revival in Nigeria. I said, I haven't been able to document it. In other words, folks, I'm telling you that when that 30 million got up there, that means that's been absolutely documented. Every region, every nation of the world, there's at least, not somebody else. That's what I've been doing. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I knew that if a young boy was sitting on the couch waiting on God to reveal His name to him, someone said, oh, you don't need to be, don't get rebaptized. You've already been baptized. And I said, well, I know. But what if we just do it anyway? Amen. Amen. I mean, you know. I mean, the idea was we've already baptized you once. Why should we do it over? Because I want you to say in the name of Jesus this time. And they said, well, you're going to be one of those oneness people. You're going to end up being a Jesus name Pentecostal. I said, no, I'm not even interested. No, I'm saying. Let me say that again. Let me say it a different way. No, I'm not going to be oneness. I don't even know any oneness people. Who are they? What do you mean oneness people? That kind of thing. And because in my heart I really thought, I don't know anything about that. I just know that there's something about that name. Something about it when I read scripture, when I look at the Bible, they're baptizing in Jesus' name. Now, what we say in our church, and we were Pentecostal, we just didn't baptize in Jesus' name. And we say the Bible said they spoke in tongues, so we speak in tongues. I don't know why we can't do that about baptism. Bible says he got baptized in Jesus' name, we do it in Jesus' name. Well, because. So I said, well, how about this? What if we just do it because? Let's just do it. I mean, I'm just one tall guy. Just one guy here. I just want to be baptized. It's just that simple. Just baptize me. We're done. We go home. That's it. We go home. He said, I can't do that. That's illegal. You guys look so great. Can you believe this? Hallelujah. Does anybody love the Lord here tonight? So, you see, if God cared about a young man who's laying on the couch, dad's out on a drunk, nobody's home, mom and dad's been long divorced, dad's remarried a number of times, got now a new vodka bar and all that, and everything's set up nice, and I'm the little tongue-talking weirdo kid that's found God, and I'm laying on the couch saying, Lord, Why do I feel this desire to obey the Bible and be baptized? And I tell my pastor, you know, what about this, pastor? I feel God wants me to do it. How about that? Nope. It's illegal. We're not baptizing you. You don't need to get baptized over. I know. But let's just do it. It's not like it's going to hurt anything. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get hurt. He said, I am a district official. It is illegal to baptize people in Jesus' name in this church. I said, now that shocks me. You mean we have a bylaw that says we can't baptize in Jesus' name? They said, yes, we do. I said, well, what if we don't tell them? What if we just don't tell them? I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it? He said, now, Talmud, you're asking me to be dishonest and go against my own ordination. And I said, we have a problem. Because you're ordained and it's illegal for you to obey the Bible and baptize me like it says there. And if I do it, I'm being accused of becoming oneness or part of some other group that I don't even know about. But little did I know that while that young man sitting there and praying and saying, God, what do we do? What do you want me to do? How many here believe that God leads and guides people? He's leading right now. He's leading right now. God is dealing. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of the folks right now that are the meanest of the most full of sin right now. And that you mentioned something about God to them, and man, they're out and got their cigarettes as fast as they can smoke them, and you think they're not listening, but they're the very next one. Praise God. You see, if God's doing that in America, then He's doing that in Russia. I just recently got back from Russia. Do you know that there are whole denominations of people that are reading their Bible and saying, I'm tired of not obeying the Bible. We went to Russia recently. There's a whole group of them said, this is in the Bible. Tell us more about it. And I showed them. I don't know. They had me come. But I was just one of the guests. But the men that were there, they said, here's why. And Russians were getting rebaptized. But guess what? God's been revealing it to the Russians. He's been revealing it in China. He's been revealing it all over the world. So they said, one of the most intriguing things to me was just exactly how many Muslims were getting baptized in Jesus' name. So I said, well, now, because, you know, we had gone through every region of the world. And I had gotten up to 24.9 million. I was still working on several places. And I wanted everybody to say, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is that if God can reveal it to you, then He can reveal it to anybody. You see? I'm trying to keep... I've got so many things rolling here. But Sister French, where are you? She helps me go back and say, remember now, back to Russia, back to China, back. But they're long gone. I don't know if I'll get back to them. But while God was working on me, my folks had been divorced. Now listen to this. Absolutely true. You say, hard to believe. 30 million? Hard to believe. Yeah, it is hard to believe. While God was dealing with me and revealing to me, you get baptized in Jesus' name. I wasn't trying to join a church, didn't even know about it. I'd heard Harvest Time by this time, of course, and knew that there was some group out there. I didn't know anything about them. And they forbid me to listen anymore, so I had to quit listening. They said, here's your problem. You're listening to these preachers, and they're mixing you all up. I said, well, that's true. I am listening every time it comes on. I'm listening and taking notes, and I'm looking it up to see if it's in the Bible is all I'm doing. And they said, well, don't look it up. Don't. That's confusing, and you're getting all confused. I said, all right, so you're forbidding me to listen to the radio, anybody preaching this on the radio? He said, absolutely. And so I said, all right, Pastor, I won't listen anymore. I'm done with it. I'm kicking the habit. And Now, my folks had divorced when I was 9, and I didn't even really know my dad. I had a stepdad. I told you about him getting the Holy Ghost this morning. That was really the dad that raised me. But while all this was going on, and I was living down in Arkansas, and the rest of the family up there in Michigan, I had a brother who's 4 years older than I am, who was a drug head at Big Rapids University University of Michigan in Big Rapids. And life was wasted, had overdosing and taking drugs and just all kinds of stuff, selling it to little kids and all that. And in the middle of all this, never been to church, wasn't even going to church. He drops his girlfriend off and of course, in the middle of all this drugging and, you know, that's all dead end, by the way. And so he's trying to be a cool dude and he's drugging himself. He passes out in a big snowbank and all of his cool dudes just leave him laying there. He was there all night, nearly died. He gasps and wakes up in the 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and he's realizing I'm killing myself. I'm here to get an education. And of course, now he's got a master's degree to teach at the university. But at that time, he was just nothing but a drug head, had nothing to look forward to. And he wakes himself up and he says, wait a minute. I got a kid brother down there in that wacky, weirdo church. And here I am. And he grabs us. We'd gotten him a little black Bible that he'd put under his seat. And he pulled it out and he started reading through it. And he said, Thomas, I begin reading this Bible that we got. He said, I begin to realize that this was my only hope. So he calls in the middle of the night and he wakes us all up. And he said, because I live in Arkansas, he's in Michigan. He said, Talmadge, you're not going to believe it. And I said, what? He said, I dropped my girlfriend off. He said, I got back in the car and he said, I was tore up. He said, I just said, God, if you're real, it's either now or I don't know what I'm going to do. It's now or whatever. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I just, the drugs just messed my mind all up. And he said, I just went out of my head. And I said, what do you mean? What'd you do? I could see blood, you know, and everything. I said, what did you do? He said, I was thinking, oh my goodness, he'd been on a spree with some kind of a revolver or something. He said, no. He said, I got in my car. And he said, all of a sudden, I lost my mind completely. He said, first it came tears running down my face. He said, you know me, I wouldn't have cried for nothing. He said, and then I just lost control. He said, then I just started shaking. And he said, then I started talking out of my head. He said, for about an hour, I talked in some kind of a weird language. He said, I talked for an hour. I said, no, wait, you're not out of your head. Start over. You started speaking kind of like a language, right? He said, yeah, it was just like I was talking in like another language. I said, that's called the Holy Ghost. He said, oh my God. Oh my God, now I've got a ghost. He said, I said, no. I said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. He said, that's God. He said, I tell you what, the more I'd pray, the worse I'd get. And I'd say, oh my goodness. He said, I'm leaving tonight. And I'm driving all the way down. And I'm going to go to that church you're at. And I'm going to, he said, I've been reading in my Bible. So I told the church all about it. And I said, there he's coming. He's going to be here. He should be here about 9. He's because we made the trip many times. So he comes walking in. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that the Spirit can move where it wants to? It blows where it listeth. It works where it wants. It can be China, Mexico. It doesn't matter. It can be a Muslim nation. He works where he wants to work. So he comes walking in about almost right on, a little bit late, but just right on. And he's soaking wet from head to toe. Hair dripping. I mean, he's dripping wet. And of course, we're all like, I said, my name is Talmadge, which is pretty common. And then my oldest brother's name is Thaddeus. And then his name is Treatise. So Talmadge, Treatise. I mean, Thaddeus, I always put myself on top, but I'm the youngest. Thaddeus, Treatise, and Talmadge. And he comes walking in, and I said, "Treatise." Middle name was Joel. We sometimes call him Joel. And I said, "You're wet. You're soaking wet. You're dripping wet." He said, "I know." I said, "What's happened to you?" He said, "I've been baptized." I said, "You've been baptized already. You just left last night. You got the Holy Ghost in your car. You thought you were out of your mind. You almost died this week from an overdose. Your life's a wreck. You come, you drive all the way down, which is a pretty extensive little drive. And now you've come into, you've crossed through Missouri into Arkansas. You've come into the northeast corner here and come into West Memphis. And you're already baptized." I said, that's great. I said, "That is so great." I said, who baptized you?" He said, "You know that creek coming into West Memphis?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know the overpass there, and you can go down in there." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, that's where I got baptized." "I know." I said, "But who baptized you?" He said, "Nobody baptized me. I baptized myself. There was a branch, and I ran, and I said, 'I baptized myself,' and I went down." I said, "Hey, man, that's great. I mean, you got to do it all over, but you're really getting there. Here's a drug head, and he's baptizing himself because God can reach anybody. He can reach anybody, anywhere, anywhere, anywhere." Oh, my gosh. So I asked the Lord some a little bit back. I was doing some of this university stuff. You swallow so much dust and powder that you've got to really get a hold of God. And so I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm getting just sort of in the rut, and I've been in this now." And I said, "And I know you can do it anywhere, anytime, anybody. But I said, I want you to show me again that it's as real today as it ever was." And so that was my thinking. And I was presenting research at universities it took me almost 5 years. I was trying to figure out how the Jesus name message got to 5 million people in China. It was like, whoa, my goodness. And I discovered the early papers, and I presented them at the university. I actually have them. I have the largest collection of early oneness newspapers in the world. I've given them to universities and archival places. And I came across the very first Chinaman, the very first Asian in the Shandong province of China. Now, see, I purpose, you think I'm reading that story about butterscotch cookies because I like cookies? No. I'm telling you, sometimes things are hard. It's hard for us to imagine that God will do what he does. But let me tell you something, folks. The God is able. God is bigger than our problems. God knows how to reach them. So I was sitting at the university, and I said, I found this history of the Chinese Pentecostal movement all in Chinese. And I said, "Well, Lord, I need this for some of my material." And Dr. Graham had been there, and I said, "I'm doing my whole research on the oneness movement. If Dr. Graham's not ashamed of it, why should I be ashamed of it?" Somebody said, "Well, you better not do your research, your master's degree research on oneness Pentecostalism, because they'll kick you out. They won't like it." And after that, I said, "Well, I'm going to do it." So I made a massive effort. I changed, because I was an ancient language degree major, but I was doing my master's in theology. I have several degrees, but that's one of them is ancient language, one is theology. So I was sitting there, and I said, "Lord, I can't read this, but I'm going to go make copies." So I went up to the copier. I was on the third or fourth floor of the Graham Center's, wherever it is. I think it's the third. And walked over, and of course, you're supposed to be quiet in the libraries. That whole floor is a library. And so I go over to the copier, and I notice there's a young Asian girl standing there. And I thought, my Lord, this is too much. I'm holding a Chinese document that I can't read, and I don't want to be offensive or politically insensitive or ethnically insensitive, but she sure looks to me like she could speak Chinese, and I'm going to ask her. Now, I could have said, how are things in Beijing? But I didn't. I said, so you're a student here and you're an exchange student from China, she said. I said, oh, that is wonderful. Well, I'm from Arkansas. I'm here and I'm working on my degree. I said, by the way, I'm holding a Chinese document right here. I said, I'm doing my, remember when Graham was here and all? I said, I'm doing my entire master's thesis on the Pentecostals. And I said, one little paragraph here is on China. And I said, have you ever heard of the True Jesus movement? And she said, oh, yes, she said. Everybody knows about the Pentecostals, she said. I said, well, what's the chance that you could translate some of this for me? Do you have any time? She said, absolutely. And she started reading, and we went through, and she would say, well, this is something. I said, well, go ahead and skip that. She said, now here's where they're telling their story. And she went through this, was reading it. And, of course, there was a whole section, which is now translated in Jonathan Chow's book, so you can read it, not read it in Chinese, but all about the preachers being arrested and buried up to their neck in sewer. And left out there for weeks at a time. And the communists said, you will either recant or you will rot and die in that sewer. They tied others. And both of us by this time are crying. And she's translating. And I'm writing as fast as I can write. And I'm getting the gist. And I'm, you know, and I said, okay, well, hold on. Wait. What was that? She said, the word here is like a cattle prod. They would tie their hands, and she was reading it. They would tie their hands to a bike and go around and around in a circle. And they would do this for hours until the preacher couldn't stand up anymore. And they'd say, are you going to recant? No. And he would finally fall on his face, and the bike would keep going and scrape until he passed out. They'd bring water, throw it in his face, and take this cattle prod, this electric metal deal, and stick it to his mouth and shock him back up until his face was scarred and bloody. And it said, finally, the communists realized that they weren't going to stop these men. And so they released them. And when they got back from these fields where they'd been, some of them dozens buried, and their skin had begun to decay, and all, they get back to their churches, and churches that had been 500 and 1,000, over sometimes 10 and 15 and 20,000, had received the Holy Ghost and had become the fastest growing church in all of China, because their rivers of blood had become a mighty current of revival in China. And I said, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You see, God is able to take the hardest circumstance and turn it into His glory. So, in the Shandong province, I finally traced it back to the very first meeting. And some of you will not believe it. That's why I read you the story from one of the largest magazines in America about butterscotch cookies. That's hard to believe. So you don't have to believe it. You can just erase it from your mind. I happen to believe anybody that would have his nails pulled out and his body tortured for the faith and never recant. These are my brothers. That's why there's 5 million in China. Now many say more, but you gotta prove it, folks. I've proven 5 million. I've got reports that said no, it's at least twice that. And on, how many know that the church is gonna march on? The church is gonna march on. This church is gonna move forward. This is a dynamic church. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Father, tonight, you're church is marching forward. It's never ashamed of your name. It's marching forward. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We lift up your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the most amazing recent, and I'm documenting over 30 million, and it'll soon be 35 if we can get the work in from Nigeria and so on. But regardless, I was said, Lord, I don't want this just to become a bunch of research. So I got this opportunity to go to China and preach in China and meet some of the churches and so on. And so I was in Asia, and we got went to an area, and we could hear they could hear this preacher. He was preaching, standing up on a, and the university had said to me, we're trying to find a place where there probably are no oneness people. We've been doing this for quite a while, but I mean, we were like, been doing it for so long, I'd given up. And they said, you know, we've happened to think that the place where there's probably no Pentecostals is going to be Tibet or Bhutan, because Bhutan is 90, I'm not sure, but I think it's 99% Buddhists, 99%, and 80% of those in Bhutan are monks. That is, they're actually monks. They live for the Buddhist religion. And I said, you know, I don't know. That's North China. I said, and there's a lot of people. They said, yeah, but that's two different cultures, two different worlds. This, that would be an entirely different situation. And I could not find anybody in Tibet. I found no churches, knew nothing about it. And I said, well, so far, I'm still checking. Nobody, none of the white American, black American, Spanish Americans, none of them know of any apostolics in Tibet. I said, but I'm still working on it. So, of course, Tibet, you know, is everybody okay? I'm almost done. Hallelujah. That Tibet's the nation where they have those spiral mountains where the mountain reaches in the clouds up there. And at the top of that mountain, you'll see a monastery. I have the actual picture of the monastery that I'm talking about, but there's dozens of them. I found out they're all over Tibet. And they're famous for this gigantic monastery. So I'm not in Tibet. I'm in southern China. And we're just out and about, and we hear this preacher, because I don't know Chinese. And he's preaching. And one of the preachers says, he's preaching Acts 2:38. And I said, well, find out who he is. And they said, well, we're going to, but he's preaching pretty hard here. We don't want to. So he gets done, and they said, could we speak to you? Because we're obviously Americans. And he comes over, and he's quite worried that we're not happy with this preaching. He doesn't realize that we're Pentecostal preachers. And so they said, you're preaching Acts 2:38. He said, repent and be baptized. It does this in Chinese. Every one of you. And they said, okay, we know that. That's good. But are you a Pentecostal preacher? Yes, repent, be baptized. That's going on and on. Because I don't know what he's saying. They're having to translate it. And so, yes. And they said, well, where are you from? And he said, I am from Tibet. And they said, got his name. And they said, what are you doing? How are you become a Christian? He said, I was 7 years old. 7 years old, my parents gave me to the monastery, gave me to the monks. And I was raised until I was 27 when a Baptist lady minister from the American Baptist Church pounded on the door to my monastery just a few months back, about a year earlier. Pounded on those great big doors. And as the other monks turned, and you know, they turned their back, they shun you, and they were going to push the doors through. He said, I was the last monk. Of course, he's a young guy. He said, and she was doing like this. They wouldn't even let her through the door. And he said, I looked and nobody saw. And I just took the little Bible and I put it in my robe. And he said, I read it every day for a year. And he said, I kept reading, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. I said, yeah, but that was an American Baptist lady missionary. How in the world? I was interviewing him. He told me how. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. Here we are talking about the farthest little northern tip of China, where you would think, oh, my goodness, that's going to take a lot of work to get somebody up in there. But you see, the Holy Ghost goes wherever it wants to go. It's working. So he gets out of the monastery and he heads down into an area called Naga land, which, by the way, don't get me going, there's a massive revival in Naga. And he's from Tibet. He heads down there looking because there's an American Baptist college there in the center of Naga. By the way, we've recently been invited to go to Naga and work, because there's a massive revival of Baptists who are getting the Holy Ghost and they want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But, he said, no, wait. He says, I get to this college. And he said, I'm asking for the lady missionary. They said, she's been gone. She's gone back to America. And he said, oh, this is her Bible. I want to thank her for this Bible. And he said, well, what is it that you want to tell her? I'll get word. He said, I want to tell her that I have been reading this Bible and I have received what this Bible calls the Holy Ghost. I've received it and I want to obey everything in the Bible. And he said, well, in other words, you have spoken in tongues. And he said, of course, this is an American Baptist college. And he says, yes, I have spoken in tongues. And he said, I have been preaching at the doors of this monastery. I go back every day and I want to thank her. And he said, well, she is not here and she does not believe in speaking in tongues. She's a Baptist. She doesn't believe in that. She's a good woman and so on, but she's not. And he said, well, who are you? He said, I am a Jesus name preacher who's visiting here to study for a few months this summer. He said, but now I know why I'm here. Because God brought you from Tibet and he baptized him right there on the spot in Jesus' name. He goes back to Tibet. We said, how many have you baptized around the monastery? He said, well, only 32,000 so far. But he said, I've got 5,000 right now waiting to be baptized. Woo! Let me tell you something, church. This church is alive. It's alive in every nation, in every heart that reaches out to him. Come on, let's lift our hands and praise him. Let's stand to our feet and praise him. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, because you are worthy tonight and you are worthy to be praised. If you know somebody tonight that needs the Lord, I want you to come and stand in their place. If you have a father, a mother, a sister, a cousin, a co-worker, a neighbor that needs God, I want you to come and stand in their place. If you've got some nation, some part of the world, maybe some a black brother, a Hispanic brother, a Chinese, an Asian brother, or a Filipino, or anybody that you feel on your heart, tonight I want you to come, because we're going to make a special commitment tonight. We're going to commit to the truth. We're going to say, Lord, I'm not going to ever again be just calm about it. Never again. Now I want you to lift your hands. Come on, let's praise him all across this building. If you need the Holy Ghost, we're believing God for you. If you need healing, we're believing God tonight. It's so hard to believe sometimes, Lord. Sometimes it's awesome. It's almost too much for us to grasp. Oh, God. Poor nations, European nations, Pacific Islands, oh God. Every nation of the world is hearing this last day message of truth. That's it. Come on, one more time. Let's make a special commitment to God. Father, we're going to reach out. I'm committing to more Bible studies than I've ever taught. Come on, lift a hand and let's close our eyes. Let's just commit for a moment. Father, I'm going to be a Bible study teacher. I'm going to tell somebody.
I'm going to lift up your voice. I'm going to lift up your name in this hour. We thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, yeah. Anybody, Lord, somebody's believing you for a family member that's wayward and without God right now. Somebody is believing. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody is believing. Thank you. Somebody, Lord, touch that heart. Touch that friend, that prison mate, that college friend that's so far from reason and believing in you. Touch the atheist, Lord, anybody right now, you're able to do it. God, you're pouring out your spirit in these lives.